Welcome to What's Poppin', where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace and dig a little deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. My guest this week is Kendra McNatt. Kendra, thank you for coming and being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you know how the format goes now, pretty much. We've had a few guests on so far, so I'm going to ask you sort of what you do at Prince of Peace, and then we'll talk about the message from last week. So we'll start with, how long have you been at Prince of Peace?
Since 2018.
All right, so a while.
You can do the math.
But like all during the pandemic.
Pretty much. I had like one normal year, and then it just all went crazy.
All went crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so what are your main responsibilities at Prince of Peace?
Anything with the youth.
Anything? Anything?
Yes, anything.
Yeah?
Yeah. So we do Sunday morning education stuff. We do youth groupy, I don't want to say fun things for lack of a better term, but fun things. We do retreats. We do mission trips, youth gatherings. I get to do all of that.
All of that.
Yeah. Care packages for college students. It's what I get to do. So
organization, planning, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Loving on my volunteers who are awesome.
Cool. All right. What is something you do at Prince of Peace that a lot of people may not know you do?
I manage the church database system called Planning Center. Yeah.
It's funny how Planning Center has now popped up in two podcasts.
Yes. All right, we're getting the word out there.
Yeah, and yes. You do manage that, which is not easy to do.
No, but I like data and logistics and looking at graphs of things, and so that's kind of my like fun side gig that I do at home while I'm watching TV.
All right, so your fun side gig is data and graphing and logistics.
Yes.
Yet you are in youth work.
Yeah.
And so this actually leads to the next question pretty well. At what point in life and what made you know that you wanted to work with youth?
It was only about 10 years ago, so early 20s, and had been an animal trainer for quite a while. And then
Pause.
Yes, sir.
I haven't heard about the animal trainer, and that sounds like circus animal trainer.
No, like dolphins.
What's the difference?
Between kids and dolphins?
No, like circus and
the kids don't appreciate the fish as much as the dolphins. But
you train dolphins?
Yeah, in Hawaii.
In Hawaii?
Yeah.
But see, this is funny because I thought, oh, she's from Florida. That kind of makes sense. But they're like, oh, in Hawaii I was doing that.
The other sunny place.
All right, so we'll get to the youth in a moment.
Okay, yes.
Because this is a can of worms I want to dig into.
All right, let's go.
All right. You are in Hawaii training dolphins. How did you get there?
I studied animal behavior as my undergrad, and it was an internship that I took, and one of my professors suggested it for me. I was working at the Jacksonville Zoo at the time, and so I'd already had a lot of animal experience, and so this just kind of added to it. And then when I was finished with dolphins, I went back to Jacksonville, and I did sharks and stingrays.
You trained sharks. Yeah. How do you train a shark or a stingray?
You can target train them. So we had different shapes of targets, and they had to go to that target to get their food. And we also knew who the animals were, so.
You knew them, but like
yeah,
by
name? Yeah, we could take them apart, or tell them apart, take them apart.
Take them apart, oh.
No, so. We don't dissect them. Hey!
So no. Animal training was for the entertainment of people or for research?
At the zoo, it was for education of people. Also, we did a little bit of research. It was for the care of animals. Mm. There is a worldwide breeding program for endangered animals that, you know, helps out with that. And so our zoo was part of that as well. And so was the dolphin facility. And so we're trying to maintain the wild populations and make sure that the world has I'm saying it like I'm still doing it. Make sure the world has those animals still as well. So.
All right. So at some point then, you're training wild animals to target things.
Yes. But
that sounds a lot more mischievous than it actually was.
Oh, it was pretty good. Yeah. We trained the stingrays to paint as well. So that was fun.
Yeah. I don't believe that. So at some point you think that you're going to work with you. So how does this come about?
It's a whole lot of things, but the short version is when I graduated college in 2010, it was the bottom of the recession, and it was really hard to find another animal job. I had left the zoo to focus on my studies, focus on my mental health, because I also had hit rock bottom at that point. Me and Jesus weren't really getting along. And at rock bottom, I found my way back to a little tiny church in Jacksonville. And I just, I always tell people, I'm like, that church loved me back to Jesus. I showed up, hot mess, and they just said, hey, you want to be part of the choir? And so I was part of the choir. I was like the youngest by 25 years. It was great. I love those people still. And then while I was there, the vicar said, hey, you're young and you're the only young person in our church right now. So do you want to work with the youth that we have, the five youth that we have? And I was like, sure. So I helped him with that. And I was really just an extra body there, except that then I accidentally fell in love with it. And the kids were amazing. Yeah. And the kids unknowingly also loved me back to Jesus. And so I really owe them a lot of gratitude and a lot of that. And so then just kind of happened into doing youth work after that.
So then you went to school?
Yep. Went up to Concordia, Nebraska for three semesters. Go Bulldogs.
That's the first person I ever heard actually cheer for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, the Bulldogs. Yeah. I can't cheer for a Husker. It's just not a... What is the Corn Husker?
Anyways, someone who takes the husk off of corn.
I know. How ferocious is that?
Well, you can do it really fast.
You can. Yeah.
But if you think about tearing the husk off corn fast is kind of ferocious.
For me, it's more about like the critters that are in the cornfield. So I had friends that did detasseling a lot and they were like, you wouldn't believe the size of the spiders we see. And I'm like, okay, if you have courage to see spiders, like that's, I don't do spiders. So that, so I can have some respect for some corn huskers, but go for Bulldogs.
And so you went back to school.
So I went back to school, went on my internship. I was interested in doing, went back to school to be a missionary, actually, go do mission work. The focus was going to be on youth. And then when I went to Nebraska, they said, hey, you can do your internship overseas. And I said, yes. And I ended up in Germany for what was supposed to be an 18-month internship. And it ended up there for 5 years. it wasn't a five-year internship. I got the job after 18 months. But I loved that as well. And then I got called to Prince of Peace right after that. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
Quite the journey.
You know what? God's got a good sense of humor.
Are there parallels between training stingrays to target things and working with youth?
Yeah, it's a lot of psychology. Yes, yeah. Don't tell the kids, but I can get them to do a lot of things. I'm just kidding, students. No.
No.
They kind of have a mind of their own. It's psychology, and you learn behavior modification, and you learn communication skills, and I can translate those over fairly well. I just leave the dead fish in the stingray pool. I don't bring them to the youth room. But actually, no, we did play a game recently that involved throwing squid at each other.
I heard about that.
Yeah. So never mind. The dead fish come to
Where
youth as well.
Where do you get squid to throw at people?
Safeway.
Oh, really? They just have like a section?
Yeah, and they're little like frozen like fish area. They have like packs of, it's really good. It's $3.99, so I'm sure it's really quality squid.
It's meant for throwing.
It's meant for throwing things.
Did you thaw it out first?
Yeah, I thawed it out, and then I put it in a bucket of soapy ice water.
Oh, gosh.
And then we threw it at each other. So it was good.
You're meant for youth work.
I'm wrong on so many levels. Yeah.
But perfect for youth.
But perfect for this.
Yes,
Yeah. Good. It's better than the time I blended up at a McDonald's Happy Meal, including the orange soda, and had a youth drink it. So that was pretty gross.
That's pretty gross.
It was. We had a trash can nearby.
Did it?
It got used.
Yeah.
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 It was pretty bad.
One time I ate 46 chicken nuggets in one sitting.
Was this for youth?
Just for the heck of it.
Oh, okay.
It was a challenge. It was a challenge.
How'd you feel after that?
Not well. Mm-hmm. But so are you aware of the chicken nuggets? You're like a vegan now, right? Vegetarian?
Vegetarian.
Vegetarian, right. All right. So you don't
eat. I still love cheese.
All right. Did you ever have any chicken nuggets before you were vegetarian?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I think we lived on them.
So, you know how in every like 20 pack of chicken nuggets, there's always one that's like nothing but cord?
Yeah.
I got the like nugget 43. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so getting the final nuggets down were difficult, but I did it.
Ugh.
I did it.
Yeah, those nuggets might be why I'm a vegetarian. Probably played into that.
Yeah. They're better now, they say.
Okay.
Yeah. All white meat. No cord.
As opposed to, I don't even want to know.
I haven't had a chicken nugget, I don't think, since.
Well, now you're thinking about it.
I've had other places, but not McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Not like the OG chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Those are not OG chicken nuggets.
No. All right. let's talk about the message last week. So you got to watch it afterward because you work during the message often on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, I'm doing all the kids ministry stuff right now.
Yeah, so. Until Stephanie gets here, which is only like a month away.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so excited.
Okay. So we talked about 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 21, as I said at the message, one of my favorite sections of scripture. So two things you have that you thought were good, bad, interesting, or made you think?
I really like that you like threw the fuzzy balls on Naomi. That was good.
She was a good sport.
She was a good sport. Yeah. Yeah. She's always up for it. I have my notes here.
You got notes? Oh, excellent.
I do. I draw my notes because I can't.
Like pictograph?
Like, yeah. This is not a good one. But.
She just showed me. They actually are pictures. Yes. Hieroglyphics.
I draw my drama. I understand them. I don't know what's wrong matters. With you. Yeah. Yeah. I loved the hands up, hands down thing. And it just, there are so many. For example, like in American Sign Language, most positive signs are done with your hands facing up or facing outwards. And then most negative ones, what we call negative ones, are with your hands facing downwards. And so I just thought that was really interesting. Like that was the first thing that came to my mind is I'm like, oh yeah, if you turn your hands up, like it's goodness and it's mercy. Yeah. And it's like, there it is. Yeah. And what a great, just a great visual when like everything fell out of her hands and continued to fall out of her hands as it's just that overflowing into other people.
Yeah. So, that was the point. I'm glad it worked.
I know. I got it. Yeah. I got that part of it. So my small group right now, we've been going through the Beatitudes Monday nights. And so I just was like, you know, immediately after the whole like hands up, hands down thing was like, oh my gosh, blessed are the merciful, right? Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. For they will be shown mercy, receive mercy, obtain mercy, whatever your translation says. Yeah,
and one way you could take it is like, the more you give, the more it's being like poured into your hands.
Yeah,
because it never runs out.
Yeah. Well, and I had that like first thought that I'm sure a lot of us have of like, oh, so like, and I think you talked about it in your message of like, oh, so if I'm merciful, then only then will God show me mercy, right? Like if I'm not merciful, God won't be merciful to me. And so it was like, oh, I don't, you know, whatever. But then it was, well, as I empty my hands out, like that's just more room for God to just keep pouring stuff in. And it means he's continuously pouring stuff in. Yeah. So how cool is that?
Yeah.
And then we talked about, because somebody in my group was like, man, it's just hard to be merciful to some people. And you talked about like, we have people that were like, I don't want to forgive that person, or I don't want to show mercy to you because you don't deserve it, or you're a jerk. And so I was like, well, Jesus doesn't say blessed are the doormats, right? There's a difference between being a doormat and being merciful to people and just letting God overflow, right?
Yeah, and I had a conversation with someone after the service, I think it's 11 o'clock service, how it's not that you have to like a person.
Exactly.
You just have to love them.
Yeah.
Right? Right? And the way we define love today makes it hard for us to understand that. But when you look at it scripturally, like you can love somebody and not like them at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because we do. You said at the beginning, like we think love is a feeling or it's an action that you have to do or something
it's
like that.
It's an emotion.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fuzzy. Yeah. You know, I don't feel warm fuzzies at that person. It's like, that's not
what it is.
What it is at all. The warm fuzzies are an extra bonus if they can
come along too. Yeah. And I have noticed this myself that if you may not like a person, but you love a person, the more you love that person, sometimes the warm fuzzies can come along. The like can come along. Yeah. You can see a person differently after the more you give of yourself for them.
Yeah, I think of my sisters, like growing, I have three younger sisters and growing up, like we probably did not like each other very much. Like we had our moments where we just didn't like each other, but our mom always said, you don't have to like each other, but you have to love each other because you're sisters. And that's how it goes. And then my mom's a pretty great person. And then like, as we grew up, like now we're just really good friends and we're probably best of friends. And we do like each other as well. And but it took that time and that will to just like, oh my gosh, I have to love you. Like it's just,
I have to love you.
That's just so, yeah. And I look at people sometimes and I'm like, you know, it's, you know, a church even, which is terrible to say, where I'm like, man, I really don't like you. And like, oh man, but I do love you. And taking communion is a huge thing or a big example for me because I've taken communion from people that I'm fighting with.
Right.
Right. Gosh. And how humbling it is to have somebody you're fighting with give you God's grace and God's mercy in that bread or in that wine. And you're like, oh, this is love. Right.
And like you said, oh, it sounds bad that at the church and feeling this, but that's like the exact place it should be happening. Right. Like we should all be coming together because we share Jesus. Right. And we're not going to like each other and all the same things. And we're going to bump heads, but we're going to love each other. And that's the power of the Spirit in us when like we go beyond how we look or how we talk or all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And we still love a person, have a connection. Like, I remember my first small group I was ever really in, was my early 20s, and I had nothing in common with anybody else in the group at all. But they're still some of the closest Christian friends I have, you know, since that time.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty cool how the Spirit can work and get beyond, like, sort of the surface level stuff that we tend to think is important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. God's like, just grace and mercy. Here you go. Yep. Like, it's just, all right. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Anything else?
You talked about fear, right? That's that end of the part of it is the, you know, perfect fear drives out, or perfect love, perfect fear drives out love. That's the opposite of perfect love drives out fear.
Yeah.
And it's just that, and then you talked about, like you said, at one point it just caught my attention of fearing not being enough, right? I'm not, you know, and that like hit me so hard because that's, I call it my big Satan button. Like that is where the liar and where the devil just is like all the time. He's like, you're not enough. You're not enough. And for me, I have always feared not being enough, right? And I still, it drives a lot of what I do. And so this last like few days even, and probably going to spill over hopefully into a long time, but is just that idea of like, if I put my hands up, like if I face my hands up, I just have too much mercy for fear, right? Like, and that's just like, fill that, and that's enough, right? I have it like tattooed on my wrist, like grace is enough, right? And that's, so even though it's on me, I can't remember it.
But you put your hands up, you're gonna see it.
Right, I can see it, exactly. Yeah. Like it's right there, and then it's just like, there's too much mercy for me to fear not being enough. And so that's like, something else takes its place.
Yeah, mine says, servant of Christ Jesus.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, Romans 1.
Oh, that's so cool. So yeah, there you go, hands up, yeah. And I did that, so when I had my, so there you go.
That cool.
So just a little tidbit from that, but yeah, that hit me as well. I also, one of the things that's the third point, so we're just gonna go
with
that.
You can have more points.
I'm gonna
it's
have
okay.
more points. Yeah. Like the one of the parts I love about First John and John's writing in general is he uses the term beloved or dear ones or dear friends, depending on the translation. And for me, it's just, man, what a call from God to just be called beloved, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially like I have been in a place where like me and Jesus were not cool. We weren't gonna, you know, that was not gonna be a thing or whatever. And just to like have that be part of my name, right? That I get to be called that.
And I like to put a hyphen in there. Be loved.
I like that.
That's, you know, it's like, be loved. This is who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's your reality. Just be loved.
Yeah. And that, man, but how hard is that, right? That turning your hands up.
Again,
it's like,
right,
it all goes back to that.
It's a constant. It's why we show up every Sunday to hear his word again, right? It's not like we fall out of forgiveness or out of grace over throughout the week and all of a sudden we need to have it again so that we're back in the family. It's that we need to hear it over and over and over again to remind us that we're part of the family and that we are loved.
Yeah. There's a lot of grace in repetition sometimes. Yeah. It's like, just come on and hear it. Like, it's good. What a great way to see that, though. So.
Any other things you thought were interesting or things you didn't like?
Things I didn't like. Those glitter balls. Just kidding. You know, well, I mean, you don't like it either.
I don't like glitter either. But
didn't get glitter anywhere.
Didn't get glitter anyway.
So that was,
What was pretty cool is after the service at 11 a.m., seeing everyone go up and just feast on the mercy. Like they all were they're all picking it apart and filling their pockets.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I was cleaning glue and tissue paper off tables, so I missed that part of it. But So, how fun. Yeah, and then the first service when Heather came up helped you out. Oh my gosh, she's just such a great person.
That was so helpful. Yeah, I kind of blew it with not thinking about having a scraper for the mercy balls. I should have had something, bigger than my hands.
That's, it's all good.
But she helped me, so it was a good example of someone showing mercy to me.
She's awesome. Cool.
All right, so I gave you all the questions ahead of time, except for the last one, because I like to spring the last one on you.
Oh, good. I'm so excited.
All right, so we are dog people.
Yes.
Right, and we have several dog people in the office, so there's lots of dog talk, which is great if you're a dog person. If you're not, it's really annoying.
I like cats, too. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm a dog person, right? And so one of the things, we have one called Millie, and we call her the Millie Bear. And one of the things I do is I snuggle her neck. And when I do, I snuggle her neck, it just relaxes me, it makes me smile, takes me to a place of just like, all right?
Yep.
All right, so I wanna know with Polly, what's the thing that she does that makes you smile every single time?
I love that part too. I love that. She's not a super snuggly dog, but we're working on it. You know, almost 3 years in, we're getting there. So she'll put her paw on me, but she'll let me hug her and stuff. She's been great. She loves to jump. She's quite a frisbee dog, and that's completely accidental. I never taught her how to do this. I just threw a ball one day and she jumped up, and she does the like jump and turn.
Oh,
it's super cool looking, right? And like, I never cease to be amazed at that. And like,
the acrobatic one, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, oh, okay. And like everyone else is always like, oh, so cool. I'm like, no, but like, she just does that. And it's just, she seems to get.
They're like, oh, sure, the animal trainer can make her dog do that.
Right,
like,
exactly. Oh, I get it. Right, but yeah, sure, she learned that on her own. Yeah. But it's just so fun. And it's, and she's got all these like weird little quirks about things. When she, like this morning, there were so many lizards out because it's nice and warm where I live right now.
Yeah.
And so she was like stalking the lizard. And then if it went in a bush, she does this like pounce with her front two paws thing. And then her tail just goes crazy. She's got her head in the bush. And it's like, we've destroyed so many of our neighbor's bushes. Like,
now, is she going to eat the lizard or is she going to just taste it?
No, she just likes, she stomps on it sometimes, which is for an 80-pound dog, not real good for the lizard.
Yeah, but, Millie just thinks they're neat, that's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what she wants.
I just think they're neat.
Yeah, she'll put it in her mouth.
But she will see how they taste.
Oh, okay. See, Polly will like put it in her mouth and then bring it to me and drop it almost like a cat.
Yeah,
like,
they don't kill them.
Yeah.
They just
maim them for life.
Well, because they're lizards and they can't handle being tasted. They're not supposed to be tasted.
So, I mean, it's kind of horrifying, but it's still cute at the same time. Cute. So,
I like lizards too, so I don't want them to be hurt.
Me too. We used to, so I grew up in Florida as well, and we used to like attach them to our earlobes and then wrap the tails around our ears.
Yeah. They love that.
I'm sure they do. Like, we had a lot of tailless lizards in our backyard. Because when they're scared, their tail falls off.
I know. I'm aware.
Yeah. And it's just like, some of our listeners might not be aware.
That's true. They may not be aware. Yeah. If you see a lizard that looks like a frog.
Right. It was probably my fault.
It's probably Kenna trying to make into earrings.
Yes, exactly.
When they lose their tail, it's freaky because it wiggles around.
It's the wiggles,
Well, on purpose, so that the person's distracted from the actual lizard.
Which my parents' dog used to catch him and eat him. And so was like, she would go after the tail instead of the lizard. And we were like,
just how it's supposed to work.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, creation's pretty amazing.
It is. Well, Kendra. Thank you for this time. It's been very enjoyable.
Yeah, thank you. This has been fun.
I'll have to have you back sometime.
Hey, you know where I am. So. Down the hall.